This is Nick.
This is Jack.
Welcome back. It is Monday, May 20th, and today's pod is the best one yet.
It's a T-boy. The top three pop business news stories you need to know today.
Jack, how was your weekend, man? You're glowing over there. What's going on? What were you eating? What were you up to?
I hit up the first farmer's market of the season on Saturday. It was lovely.
Jack, it's been farmer's market season in California for 12 months now.
Well, here in Vermont, farmer's market is where wholesome meets wholesome, but then there's always like a dogfight or two that really disrupts the flow.
You know you're at a farmer's market when you have to use Apple Pay six times for it to go through.
I don't think the dongle's working.
Yet he's happy asparagus season. Enjoy the stone fruits. And Jack, what are the three stories for today's show?
For our first story, Raising Cane is the fastest growing chicken chain in the country. Get this, Raising Cane is 10 times bigger than Wingstop.
10 times bigger. Yet he's Raising Cane has a secret sauce, and Jack and I discovered what it is.
For our second story, workers at Mercedes-Benz factory in Alabama just voted against joining a union.
And guess who's involved in this Mercedes story? Head football coach Nick Saban.
And our third and final story. There is one investment that's beating gold, it's beating tech stocks, it's beating AI, and it's beating the S&P 500.
What is it, Jack?
Copper.
It's copper. Copper has become so popular that people are stealing it from their offices.
But Yetis, before we hit that wonderful mix of stories.
Wonderful mix of stories. Love the mix of stories today. More asparagus.
You have to mark your calendar right now for a special day, and that day is September 18th.
September 18th, because September 18th is the first ever national annual international Urban Rat Summit.
New York City is hosting the first ever national convention dedicated to rats.
It's a rat convention that's 2 days long on how to eliminate rats.
This is like Davos for people who hate rodents.
Jack, it's like South by Southwest for exterminators.
It's like Comic-Con, but instead of Batman, it's rats, man. It's rats, man.
Jack and I, we like to call it RatCon. That's what this is.
Now, Yetis, let me sprinkle on some context, okay? New York City has a complicated relationship with rats ever since Henry Hudson founded the city.
Jack, when I was growing up in New York City, our rat relationship, it was more stable.
You were at peace with the rats? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we had a mutual understanding. Like, if you saw a rat on the R train, you just waved. You didn't freak out.
But there's no kumbaya anymore, because the rat population in New York City is now estimated at 3 million rats.
3 million rats. Jack, can you sprinkle on a little more rat stuff onto that number, please?
For every three New Yorkers, there's a rat living there, too.
One out of three New Yorkers also is a rat as a pet. Yetis, last year, New York City created a new job to fight that very issue.
The Rat Czar.
The Rat Czar has a $20 million budget and a $200,000 paycheck in order to get rid of the rats.
That's a real position, by the way. We're not kidding. There is a Rat Czar in the city of New York.
And we also have an update from the Rat Czar. Jack, the numbers?
The Rat Czar is winning. Get this. Statistics from the city say that sightings of rats have fallen 14% in the past year.
Ipso facto, that means there are 14% fewer rats in New York City.
Or the rats have just gotten better at hiding by 14%.
Jack, look under that pizza slice.
I think it's a rat.
Yeah, he's honestly, Nick and I find rats to somehow be a part of the charm of the city.
Yeah, it's kind of part of New York's economy. If you see a rat, honestly, that rat is probably commuting somewhere.
Yeah, they're not being rude. They're just in a rush, okay?
Yeah, you're being rude if you interrupt the rat, if you think about it, Jack.
They're on their way to work. They don't have time to talk to you and take a selfie.
So, Yetis, mark your calendars for mid-September.
RatCon is the new Comic-Con.
But less jock straps, more mouse traps.
See you in September.
If you know, you know. Jack, let's hit our three stories.
15 years before this song, two boys from the Northeast met in the dorm. They had an idea that caused a cultural storm. It's the best one yet, but the best is the norm. Jack, Nick, that's it. I don't even think they need to practice. 50%, that's a fat tip. T-Boy City on your at list. If you know, you know, cause we ready to go. We can't wait no more, so just start the show. Start the show. Start the show.
First, a quick word from our sponsor.
Airbnb.
Yetis, how much can you charge for your place? Important question, but hard to answer.
Airbnb helps hosts with that. They show you how much similar places in your area are going for so you can compare and contrast.
Jack, this two-bedroom walk-up, it's going for $300 a night on weekends, but
My two-bedroom walk-up is nicer, it's got a pretty view, and maybe I'll put it up for $400 a night.
Nailing the price is key to being a satisfied host on Airbnb, and Airbnb helps you do it. Your home might be worth more than you think.
Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Rocket Money.
All right, Yetis, picture one place you can link all your money accounts to have one single picture of all your finances.
That's Rocket Money.
Yeah, it is.
But we love this app because it actually does a lot of different things for us.
Rocket Money, it's like our money manager. It shares money alerts like that refund that we've been waiting for.
And Rocket Money also helps us save money by helping us cancel subscriptions that we don't need anymore.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users, and it saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
That's rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
For our first story, Raising Cane's. Raising Cane's, the booming nationwide chicken finger chain, is about to hit $5 billion in annual sales.
But the secret sauce to Raising Cane isn't their actual sauce. It's an app that you can't even use.
Jack, can you pour out the jambalaya, baby? Who is the richest person in the state of Louisiana right now, man?
It's a man named Todd Graves.
Todd Graves!
He's the most famous Louisianan since Bubba Gump.
He's worth $8 billion, and he's worth $8 billion because he owns 90% of Raising Cane's.
Raising Cane's. That means this man is a chicken finger financier.
He is a chicken bone billionaire, and he named his restaurant chain after his adorable, loving dog, who's a good boy.
There's now 1,000 locations of Raising Cane's in 40 states.
Now, as Todd Graves puts it, his restaurant chain is focused on one thing and one thing only. Their singular focus is chicken finger meals.
The only thing you'll see on the menu is a chicken finger combo, a chicken finger sandwich, or chicken fingers on toast.
Jack, did you hear that they may do a Caesar salad?
With chicken fingers on top?
Chicken fingers on top of it. You don't get any croutons, man.
Last year, this chain did $3 billion in sales, but they're growing so fast, they expect $4.5 billion this year.
Jack, could you sprinkle on some context to those fast food numbers, please?
$4.5 billion in sales is gigantic. It's nearly 10 times the annual sales of Sweetgreen. It's 10 times the annual sales of Wingstop. It's 7 times as big as Cava, and it's 5 times as big as Shake Shack.
Sit down, stand up, and add fries to that, baby.
If Raising Cane's isn't big where you live, it will be soon.
Jack, I just checked. The closest Raising Cane's to me is like in Fresno, 300 miles away. But you know what?
It's probably coming to your neighborhood sometime soon.
Because Raising Cane's is like Chick-fil-A if Chick-fil-A became obsessed with just the fingers.
So what is the secret sauce to this Louisiana-based sensation called Raising Cane's?
They actually do have a secret sauce, literally. Yeah. They actually do have one. Yeah, they have a literal secret sauce.
Their signature sauce is so secret, there's only one person at each location who knows the recipe.
And that person is the manager. They are contractually sealed to secrecy. If they squeal on those ingredients, they get fried.
We heard their official title is Keeper of the Recipe, and they get branded the first time they learn the recipe.
But that's the literal secret sauce that you eat at a Raising Cane's. Instead, Jack and I have noticed that their business secret sauce is actually an app.
Raising Cane's has an app called One Love Crew. Nick and I actually downloaded it from the App Store on our phones.
Yeah, Jack and I jumped in T-Boy style and we wanted to use the Raising Cane One Love Crew app, but
we couldn't.
We couldn't get in.
Because this app isn't for customers, it's for employees only.
Yetis, what we're saying is that this is the only fast food chain we can find who has an internal app for all employees, from the CEO to the chicken fryer.
The app is for water cooler talk. From the kitchen all the way up to the boardroom.
For example, if you check out this One Love Crew app, you're going to see Jake in the drive-thru is getting a shout-out for keeping cool during the cooler crisis.
And Lorraine has her last day of work at the Dallas location so everyone can celebrate her win.
Or Jack, a cashier at the Nashville Raising Cane's, just got promoted on her birthday. Hey, let's all send her some love.
According to the company that built this internal app, it has the highest engagement of any app they've ever built.
So Yetis, Jack and I just discovered that Raising Cane has an internal app that we can't use that is bigger than any other restaurant app out there, and that made us think about something we said last week.
Jack, can you please whip up the takeaway for us? That's Jack Kramer. Can you please whip up the takeaway for us on Raising Cane's?
Cash isn't king. Culture is king.
Yetis, last week we did that exact takeaway. We did a whole big story on this surprise about job satisfaction.
There was a surprise in a job satisfaction study. Pay is no longer the driving factor of worker satisfaction. Culture is.
Because Yetis, in an age of inflation, pay raises are fleeting. And in an age of remote work, culture is what you crave.
A day after Nick and I did that story, we found the perfect specific example in Raising Cane's.
It's Raising Cane's because a key driver of Raising Cane's success is a satisfied workforce. A satisfied workforce who is all up in that app.
That app connects employees at every level. It fosters a sense of culture company-wide, and it's created loyalty for the company too.
Because Raising Cane's has one of the lowest turnover rates in an industry that has a whole lot of turnover.
So last week we told you, cash isn't king. Culture is.
And Raising Cane is the perfect case study on culture. For our second story, Mercedes-Benz just narrowly won a huge union vote.
But this story is also about football coach Nick Saban and the Alabama discount.
The old Alabama discount. But Jack, at 89 years old, can we talk about the Detroit-based auto workers union, please? What's going on, man?
The UAW is looking in its prime right now.
Even though it's been around 89 years, because Yetis, last year, the biggest union in the United States got big wins for workers at Ford, at General Motors, and at Chrysler.
And then in April, it won a landslide victory at Volkswagen's factory in Tennessee, which was their first big union win in the South.
So the auto workers union had all this momentum over the last year, but then on Friday, that momentum hit the brakes.
On Friday, the UAW lost. 5,000 voters at a Mercedes-Benz factory in Alabama voted no, we do not want to join the union.
Jack, can you open that chassis and tell us the final numbers on the Mercedes union vote, please?
44% voted yes to joining the union, but 56% voted no.
Yetis, Mercedes workers voted against letting the car union negotiate their salaries and benefits for them.
Instead, Mercedes workers will remain on their own, negotiating mano-a-mano with their boss.
And that also means that Mercedes, the aspirational vehicle of every mom in Greenwich, Connecticut, will not be union made.
It also means that Mercedes will...
Sorry, Mrs. Reed!
But Yetis, here's what Jack and I found fascinating about this story. This historic vote also means that Mercedes will continue something wild.
Mercedes will continue to benefit from the Alabama discount.
Yetis, last year, Mercedes produced 300,000 cars in the great state of Alabama.
They sold those cars for a premium, but they paid their workers a discount.
Get this. A General Motors worker in Detroit makes $40 an hour making cars.
But your typical Mercedes worker in Alabama makes only $26.50.
So an Alabama car worker is making a whole lot less than a Detroit car worker, and that is the Alabama discount.
And that was the main argument from the union organizers. They said it was time to end the Alabama discount by joining the union and negotiating higher pay.
But those organizers lost the big vote. So Jack and I had to ask, what might have swayed all these undecided workers at Mercedes in Alabama?
None other than the hometown hero, Alabama's former head football coach, Nick Saban.
Yetis, this was wild. But apparently Mercedes forced all 5,000 of their factory workers to listen to coach Nick Saban talk about teamwork in the car factory.
The not-so-subtle message from Coach Saban was that everyone here is on a team. A union would divide us, so you should vote no.
And if you don't vote against the union, you're probably an LSU fan.
Now, the 7-time NCAA championship head coach, he actually owns multiple Mercedes dealerships on the side,
which made the situation a little awkward.
And the factory that we're talking about is in the same county as the University of Alabama. So everyone in that factory voting is a huge Alabama fan,
which made this news story even more awkward.
So it looks like it was a combination of Southern anti-union politics and Coach Saban's pep talk that won the victory for Mercedes management.
What we're saying is that Roll Tide voted against the union. So Jack, what's the takeaway for all our buddies over at Mercedes?
The macro shows what the micro wants.
Yetis, in the past 25 years, corporate profits as a percentage of GDP have doubled from 5% up to 10%.
Over that same period, wages as a percentage of U.S. GDP have fallen from 46% to 43%.
So, looking at this situation at a macro level, companies across the country have reduced wages while boosting profits.
They've moved money out of workers' pockets and into shareholders' pockets.
And that underlying angst is what's driven this comeback of the unions in the first place over the last year.
And we see that macro stat in micro examples. Workers are voting for unions in various industries across the country.
Because workers are trying to reverse that trend. They want to win back some of the pie from the CEOs and the shareholders.
Because the macro shows what the micro wants.
Now, a quick word from our sponsor. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Yeah, it is. On this pod, we have takeaways. Memorable one-liners that are instructive.
Nick had a takeaway from a recent therapy session.
I did.
And he wants to share it right now.
All right, here it is, Jack. Ready? I discussed a fantastic way to avoid arguments with my therapist, and here it is. Get curious, not furious.
If a friend, a partner, or a boss does something that bothers you, don't get annoyed. Get interested.
Hey, get curious, not furious. It requires a little practice, and it's tough to not go with your instinctual reaction.
But if you can ask a question instead of starting a fight, that could be the most preventative thing that you can learn.
Those types of takeaways are why we endorse therapy, and you can start with BetterHelp.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your busy schedule.
You fill out a questionnaire, then you're matched with a licensed therapist.
And if session one doesn't go as you'd hoped, you can easily switch therapists anytime.
Just switch, because learning just one takeaway from one session, that can have a huge impact on your life.
Like getting curious, not getting furious.
So take a moment. Visit BetterHelp.com/tboy today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tboy. Fabric by Gerber Life.
Yeah, a lot of people think that getting life insurance means you're insuring yourself for yourself.
But it's actually the exact opposite. You're insuring yourself for your family.
Yeah, Jack and I, we both got term life insurance to make sure our kids and our partners are taken care of if something happens to us.
Life insurance is how you protect your family's future, and we love Fabric.
Fabric by Gerber Life is term life insurance you can get done right here, right now. You could be covered from your couch in under 10 minutes with no health exam required.
And if you're young and healthy, now is the time to get life insurance.
Because you lock in low rates that fit your family and your budget.
Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/tboy.
That's meetfabric.com/tboy.
Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company, not available in certain states, and prices subject to underwriting and health questions.
For our third and final story, commodity traders, countries, and criminals are all clawing for copper.
Copper is the new gold because it fuels two of the world's megatrends.
Jack, take us back to last Friday. We were celebrating the wins. What kind of good stuff was going on, man?
Well, the Dow hit a record 40,000 points for the first time. Stocks are at an all-time high.
The Dow has defied expectations and risen 14% in 2024.
Guess what asset, though, has risen by twice as much over the same period?
Jack, I'm going to venture to guess it may be copper?
Copper, as an asset class, is doing better than bonds, oil, gold, or even tech stocks.
Yeti's copper prices hit a record last week of $5 a pound. They're up 30% since the start of the year.
Copper is the new crypto.
Copper's the new cocoa, Jack.
The price of copper is so high that organized criminals are stealing copper wire from trains, from buildings, even from utility cables.
Yeti's, the price of copper is so high. The last time Jack was with me in San Francisco, I caught him trying to sell our microphones on the street.
That's false. But what's true is that Nick and I are both worried about the Statue of Liberty.
We are. Lady Liberty's like 100% copper, man.
And now Tony Soprano's going after her.
You're going to start chipping away on her feet, and you sell that over in Jersey, you can make a quick buck, Jack.
She needs a Secret Service detail ASAP.
But Yetis, besides our fear for the Statue of Liberty's copper goodness, why is copper in such high demand right now?
For reasons that are actually deeply important to national security.
The first reason copper is crushing it right now is artificial intelligence.
The magical answers that chatbots spit out depend on physical computers.
So tech giants are investing in physical data centers where the brains of AI can do their computing.
And a crucial ingredient to a modern data center is copper. So AI basically runs on copper.
Apparently Sam Altman wakes up in the morning, doesn't have cereal, has copper.
The second reason copper is crushing it is electric cars.
Jack, I'm surprised that Sam Altman line didn't get more of a rise out of you, but I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it. Yeti's copper is also crucial to batteries, so they're vital to electric cars.
The average electric vehicle has 200 pounds of Sam Altman. I mean, 200 pounds of copper.
Yeah, you can't build an electric vehicle without half of the periodic table of elements these days.
Including a whole bunch of copper.
And that is why China and the United States are investing in African infrastructure to win the hearts of locals where they get a lot of copper.
And that's also why the U.S. and China are making offers on African copper mines.
They're trying to win mines to win their wallets.
Copper. So hot right now.
So, Jack, what's the takeaway for all our buddies over in copper?
The tech of tomorrow requires new rocks today.
Yetis, transitioning to sustainable energy and developing AI are two megatrends for the whole global economy.
And minerals that enable those megatrends are spiking in price and importance right now.
And actually, when we look back on history, we see this is a pretty common theme, don't we, Jack?
When the U.S. economy became fossil fuel dependent, oil, gas, and coal were the minerals of the day.
Well, now that we're moving on to clean energy, copper, lithium, and cobalt are the minerals of the day.
One set of minerals is replacing another. This is the clean energy transition.
Now, historically, wars have been fought to secure access to oil, and the goal now is to avoid the same for copper.
But the tech and energy of tomorrow requires new rocks today.
Jack, can you and Sam Altman whip up the takeaways for us to kick off the week?
Raising Cane's is the fastest growing restaurant chain. There are 1,000 locations and counting.
For employees right now, cash isn't king, culture is king. And Raising Cane's is the perfect example of it.
For our second story, the UAW lost at Mercedes-Benz's Alabama plant, but they could try again in a couple of years.
Because the macro shows what the micro wants.
And our third and final story. The price of copper has risen more than the price of bonds, gold, crypto, or the whole stock market. Copper is at an all-time high.
Copper! Because the technology and energy of tomorrow require new rocks today.
But Yetis, this pod's not over yet. Here's what else you need to know today.
First, we were on Reddit over the weekend, and we noticed that Reddit stock is up 60% in the last month, and it's all thanks to two things.
First, the return of meme investing shows continued cultural relevance of Reddit.
And second, both Google and OpenAI are paying Reddit for access to their content to train their artificial intelligence.
So Reddit's basically an AI meme stock now.
And second, Figma, one of the largest startups in the US, is allowing shareholders to sell their company stock at a $12.5 billion valuation.
This comes after regulators blocked an acquisition from Adobe that would have sold the company at $20 billion.
Employees thought that this acquisition would have been a huge payday, but this is a good alternative.
And finally, the Michelin Restaurant Guide is giving their first star to a taco joint.
Taqueria El Califa de Leon in Mexico City is a tiny taco spot with the world's apparently most prestigiously awarded award for mole.
It's awesome they're giving a star to a taco joint. Nick, I actually have been to this place.
I was going to say, I thought okay. You know this.
Right before we went to a Mexican wrestling match in Mexico City a few years back, I went to this place. It was so good.
Yetis, there's actually more to Jack's Mexican wrestling story, but that is for another pod. Now time for the best fact yet. This one sent in by our Canadian Yetis about Victoria Day in Canada.
Today is Victoria Day. They're celebrating the British sovereign's birthday.
It falls on Queen Victoria's birthday because she happened to reign when it became a holiday in Canada.
Queen Victoria was the second longest reigning English royal in history, topped only recently by her great-great-granddaughter, Queen Elizabeth II.
Now, to all our Yankee Yetis out there, Queen Victoria was barely 5 feet tall. She clocked in at 4'11", but
she was a giant in shaping the modern British monarchy.
In fact, if you wore a white wedding dress on your wedding day, you can thank Queen Victoria.
She started that tradition a couple hundred years ago.
Not too shabby.
So apparently Billy Idol was singing about her in White Wedding.
Yetis, you look fantastic to start the week. And if you have the best fact yet, we want to get your voice on this podcast.
So click the link in the episode description to send us the best fact yet.
Drop us a voicemail and we'll get it on the pod. In the meantime, Jack and I will see you at RatCon.
You already bought tickets, right?
I got us two tickets. I don't want to miss out. And before we go, a shout out to Yeti Ryan A, who's moving from New York City back home to the Philippines and maybe getting down on one knee. We'll wait for the shout out.
And congratulations to Alana Karatanova in Atlanta, Georgia, who just landed a new job.
And congratulations to Dung in San Francisco. I just met him on Market Street, Jack, and he just got a new job down the street.
And congratulations to Rhiannon Pillay in Palo Verdes, California, who just graduated and is now a Yalie.
And we're going with the Bulldog train because Cynthia and the whole 2024 Yale SOM MBA class is celebrating a huge graduation win.
Congratulations, Cynthia. You and Rory Gilmore are now alumni together.
And Sadesh Jadhav in Green Bay, Wisconsin has got a 37th birthday and a first wedding anniversary. Rachel and him are celebrating it fantastically.
And happy birthday to Jake Bryant, Esquire of Monroe, Louisiana. This man is celebrating with his beautiful wife.
And some Raisin Cane's. And David Nachman, happy 50th birthday over in Morristown, New Jersey.
Happy birthday to Clara Yang in Chicago. This is an OG T-boy.
And Oliver Suggs in Cincinnati, Ohio is not just a dog dad, but also a woodworker celebrating with one heck of a wooden cake.
And to anyone else celebrating something today, make it a T-boy.
Celebrate the wins.
This is Jack. I own stock of Kava. Nick owns stock of Shake Shack. And we both own ETFs of the S&P 500.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.